Om Shanti. Good afternoon and congratulations for arriving at on time, because the afternoons is a sacred time in Madhuban to take a little. So we have been exploring this subject of transforming knowledge into experience. And I remember once Baba gave a formula. Baba gave his own three-step formula as to how to experience. And Baba said, become a point, apply a point, remember a point. And this is really, I think, a wonderful formula for spiritual experience. And perhaps we could also say, it's like this steps towards detachment. Because those three steps, in a sense, reduce the influences of my mind on my mind so that Baba can start to influence me. And the first step, become a point. How many times does Baba tell us to become bodiless? And to me, I think as much as we're able to become detached from the body, that's how much I have spiritual experience. It's almost proportional. As much as I have the art of letting go the consciousness of the body, that's how much I enter the world of spiritual experience. But then Baba said, apply a point. Put a full stop. Past is past. Put a break to the overactive mind. Is it easy? Is it easy? You know, once Daddy Jenki said that the sign of the eight jewels is that they can put a full stop in 1 second. And you think that's an incredible, it's almost like when the souls absorb the ocean of knowledge, a scene happens, a situation is happening, a challenging relationship, and yet I look through the filter of truth and I understand it in 1 second. I'm not suppressing, but I can put a full stop and move on. It's an incredible ability. And I remember once observing Daddy Prakashmini. I might stand up because I can't see many of you. Perhaps, and then you can't see me. I remember observing Daddy Prakashmini. Do you remember how she used to come into the courtyard, and many of you, and she would acknowledge everybody. Remember Daddy? She would come through the courtyard. And I remember observing, you know, how everyone loved to meet her, and she came to one soul, and this soul actually reacted quite strongly to Daddy in not a very pleasant way. And yet I just noticed that Daddy didn't absorb it at all. She just continued her journey of acknowledging. And it was almost like I observed her putting the full stop to that situation and just continuing. But the third one is becoming a point. And I think that, you know, this whole quest ultimately is to remember Shiv Baba in his most essential form, because that's what I become. But the method is really love. And I feel that, you know, the first need of the human soul is love. And when we taste love, have you noticed you just feel, you know, that when you feel absorbed, you just settle inside? Have you noticed it's like everything settles down completely? But when there's a lack of love, I think the mind can never rest. The agitated mind is always searching and seeking something. It can never just rest. The first desire or need of the human soul is love. If that's not fulfilled, 1,000 other desires emerge. the desire for you to respect me, recognize me, all that stuff seems to emerge when there's a lack of experience of love. So Baba gave this incredible formula, I thought, for experience. And that was become a point, apply a point, and remember a point. And I think that it's like a drill. And so many times Baba encourages us to, it's like the fitness of spiritual life, to become strong. This constant practice of this process of being in action, letting go action and going beyond, coming back into action. You know this process. And I'm going to read you something. I'm going to sit down again. That someone gave me recently. It's a little piece from Amulya in 1969. And it's in October 1969. And Baba is talking about this practice. And in a sense, Baba keeps reiterating, children, this is essential. And I think that really for us to move forward spiritually, even to have spiritual experience, this advice is really wonderful. So, Baba began, you have to make the mind practice this drill. You must definitely practice coming into sound in 1 second and going beyond sound in 1 second. Practice coming into thoughts about service in 1 second and going beyond thought and stabilizing yourself in your original form in 1 second. This drill is absolutely essential. It should not be that you are unable to move away from physical consciousness. Come into physical consciousness for the sake of a task in 1 second and then become bodiless in 1 second. Those who have made this drill firm, what can they do? Baba says, they are able to face all situations. Just as you are made to practice drill in the morning, in the same way, you must especially practice this avyat drill at Amrit Vela. You have to do it throughout the day, but the time for this special practice is Amrit Vela. When you see that your intellect is very busy, what should you do? What should we do? You know when the intellect starts to go in overdrive with a task? Yes. Is there a free Spanish translator? Guillermina, you're free, are you, Guillermina? You're translating now. Okay. So when he came in, did you practice the drill at that time? Or did the mind start to go into? So, when you see that your intellect is very busy, practice it at that time. Even while in a situation, are you able to make your intellect detached? Only when you perform all your actions in a detached stage will you be able to remain detached. If you have attachment to that task, you will not be able to become detached in 1 second. This is why you must practice this, no matter what the situation is, because in the final paper, there will be many fearsome situations. And you will be amidst situations which you would not wish to be in. Compared to those, the situations of today are nothing, Baba said. So he's training us for the future. The final paper will take place amidst the final situations. You must prepare for that beforehand. This is why when you see that you are very busy, that the intellect is very busy in a physical task, and that the circumstances are such that they are pulling you in all directions, what should you do? Practice the drill at that time. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's like the very time when the mind is being pulled, influenced, that's the very time Baba says to practice. Then you will know to what extent you are able to practice the drill. This aspect too is most essential. If you continue this drill, you will achieve success. Over the years, how many times have you heard Baba remind us, just, it's almost like I think the fitness of Brahman life is just letting go, this process of letting go. And often I think, have you ever noticed that if you observe yourself letting go in a second, trying to become bodiless, have you ever noticed where you get stuck? What you are pulled to? Because in a sense, that's an indicator where I need to make spiritual effort. You know, if you're given a second, where to go? What holds your mind? Where does your mind get stuck? What do I hold on to? What is influencing me at that time? Because in a sense, I think we study for so many years for this one practice of letting go everything in 1 second. It's the ultimate result, isn't it? The ultimate paper, to let go and go beyond. So what we're going to do is, we're going to go next door once again, and we're going to practice letting go. So maybe if you can leave all your books and papers and everything here once again, but those who need translation, and we're going to go into the room next door just for only about 15-20 minutes. So if we, and I've opened 2 doors this time, so you can go through the back door. There's not just 1 door. Thank you. So thank you, everyone. So how did you go? Were you successful? Who feels that they were able to sort of let go and move beyond in a second? Oh. The hands are sort of, you know. But, yeah. But it's a wonderful practice, isn't it? And in a sense, it's the ultimate act or experience of a knowledgeful soul to be in the scene of drama and then move beyond and come back. And I think that little piece we're reading, Baba, was just really encouraging us to practice this as we move along. Because I think for me, the first door to spiritual experience is definitely that step of detachment from the body, becoming the micro seed. But obviously the main step is the experience of Baba. And many times I ask myself the question, how much do I remember Baba? And what is the answer? Not enough. Would you agree? And I think it was Sister Jayanti once told us the story of Daddy G. And it was 1968, and Brahma Baba called a seminar of all the senior sisters here in Pandavabhavan. And the seminar was on remembrance. And I really love it because, you know, we have seminars on global functioning and charters. And Baba held a seminar. And from what I heard is that he got all the older sisters, the daddies in the room, and he said to each one, how much do you remember Baba? How much do you remember Baba? And when he came to Daddy G, He asked Daddyji, and she said, Baba, 1 hour a day. When I heard that, I felt a lot better about it. And Daddyji, Baba then praised Daddyji and praised her for her honesty. But I think really, ultimately, that's our aim in this journey, isn't it? To live our life, involve in service and relationships, but maintain the relationship and the connection. I feel there's grades of remembrance. And perhaps, if I can use the word, the low grade is what I would call the karma yoga stage, in the sense of action consciousness. You do actions for Baba. The motive, the intention is love for Baba. And so the experience of those actions is a feeling of well-being. It is a good feeling. The second type is what I call indirect remembrance. It's more like we think about Baba. We think about Baba's qualities. We think about the powers, etc. And those thoughts, those pure thoughts, give me an experience of lightness. This quality of yoga makes me feel better, but it doesn't settle my karmic story. It doesn't really resolve anything, but it sustains me in the present. But the third type is what I would call a direct connection, which is ultimately, I think, what all of us are aiming for as much as possible, where I go absolutely beyond the body and I absorb my mind, my intellect, my sanskars, everything is absorbed in one Baba, that really sweet experience. And I think when Daddyji was sharing her experience, she was meaning that quality of meditation. I remember when I started, Daddy Jenki used to say, if in the morning you don't have quality meditation, and I would say that direct connection, she said, make sure you make up for it through, you know, at some time during the day. Because you know how we accumulate. And sometimes if we don't practice or it doesn't work one day and then the next day and then the next day, and before you know it, we create so many patterns within our BK life, don't we? You know, so many habits. So that sometimes I go along and there's different things sustaining me, but it's not really the connection with Baba. And I think that in my reflection, what I've learned is that yoga is the result of all aspects of my Brahman life. You know, sometimes, have you got to the point in your journey where you think, I've just got to remember Baba more? So you start to sit more in meditation. You know, you sit more every in the evening or bhatis. And what happens is the mind wanders even more. Have you had that experience? And sometimes many obstacles come. Because I think it's almost like we want to go to the top immediately. It's like someone learning the piano and they want to play Beethoven's concerto. You know, or someone beginning to play tennis and they want to play at Wimbledon next week, you know. It's like we haven't done the groundwork, because to me, you have to build every step to be able to release the intellect to have that perfect connection. And that's why I feel that really my ability to remember Baba depends on each and every aspect of Brahman life. And what I've drawn over here, can you see this beautiful picture I drew over here? See my artistic talent? What is it? It's a volcano of spiritual experience. And I think to be able to have the connection with Baba, I need to be able to go through the steps. My experience, each step begins to free the intellect from attraction, from influence, from the past. And if I build it appropriately, then the soul is able to really have like that quality of meditation that we all really desire. And the first step I'm going to call awareness. By this, one time I remember Baba talking about freedom. And Baba said there's two principles that are the foundation of freeing the soul, the journey. And what I mean by that is freeing me from a lot of that extra thinking, attraction, pulls. The first principle of freedom was to have all relationships with one Baba. And I think it's almost intrinsic to building a good yoga state. It's absolutely fundamental. You know, when I was saying this morning that my first meeting with Baba, after Baba gave me drishti and I had that wonderful experience, Baba asked me two questions. The first question, imagine I was 2 months and about 20 days in Gyan, Baba said, do you have one Shiv Baba and none other? And I went, yes. The next question was, are you stable on Dharma? And I went, yes. It's like you can't say no to Baba. But it's like I felt Baba was saying to me, you know, if you really want to, you know, achieve the real connection, this is absolutely critical. It's a very subtle thing, because if I'm having all relationships with the one who's incorporeal, egoless, and viceless, what do I become? I become that. If I'm having a relationship with Baba, we're all here because we love Baba, but I'm also having relationships, dependent relationships, or relationships, even in subtle ways, with human beings, that those relationships mean subtly I sustain those sanskaras. I'm giving life to those sanskaras. And so those sanskaras are still holding the soul back at that time. And ultimately, if I really want to build the volcano of spiritual experience, I believe that fundamental freedom of all relationships with one. And the second, Baba was saying, was, Baba, everything is yours. And in a sense, that's starting to deal with the account of I and my. And it's almost like those two principles underpin my ability to start to build a yoga stage. Because we're talking about an unadulterated connection. The next step, I would say, is lifestyle. And, you know, there's such a deep relationship between thought and action. And, you know, the more I go on, when people say to me, I'm finding meditation challenging, I can't concentrate, I find it difficult, you know, I feel it's not about the half hour I'm sitting in meditation, it's the other 18 hours of the day. Because when my subtle behavior, my karmas, are not accurate, if I'm having critical thoughts of people, if I'm a bit impressed by somebody, if I get sort of slightly frustrated, all these little karmas, what happens when you sit to meditate? Have you ever had the experience that you're busy? You're so busy, you don't have time to process. As soon as you sit down quietly, what comes up on the screen of the mind are these subtle karmas, these actions, these behaviors, these interactions that are not so accurate, and you spend your time sorting through your feelings internally. And that's why I think, I really feel, in the last few years, I've really, I suppose, appreciated Baba's directions on a much deeper level. Because it seems to me that the more we value Srimad, and I never see it as a code of, you know, rules and regulations, it's the deep code of truth of how to live in the physical world and what actions will allow the soul's intellect to go beyond influence. And that's why I think that even Baba outlines not only a number of things that help me build this pyramid of spiritual experience and start to free me. Srimat frees me from the pull of inaccurate behavior and actions. Virag frees me from the pull or the attraction of the things of the world. It's something natural. If I feel the attraction to Baba, I don't feel that pull. Even I would say, you know, surrender and renunciation. Why Baba talks about all these things? To me, surrender is of all the good things I bring to Baba. You know, we all bring talents and skills and wealth and all sorts of things. If that's not surrender, that pulls me when I meditate, or I have a little bit of attraction or pride about those things. Renunciation is of the rubbish. And so it's like I'm starting to build my, in a practical way, the foundation to have deep connection with Baba. And I remember Dadi Gulzar gave a lovely class once, and she talked about the Mariadas of yoga. And what she was saying is that if I keep my mind in the parameters of four things during the day, when you sit to meditate, you will fly. You know how sometimes we've all had that experience, you're having a good day, you feel happy, and you sit and you just fly. And other days you sit and you seem to whatever, sink or whatever. And she was saying that if I keep my intellect within the line, the first line of being practicing soul consciousness, the second line of churning knowledge, the third line of chit-chat with Baba, the fourth line of, you know, the seed stage, and even within that, good wishes and good feelings for others. So let's just have traffic control. So it's a lovely expression, isn't it? Well, maybe I think Dadi Gulzar said the Mariadas of the mind. To keep my mind in the parameters, it enables the soul to go beyond. And one of the images I've had for myself in the last year, which has really helped me, it's because I've been thinking a lot about these things, and you know, we live in such a world, so many influences, and our addiction is to absorb them. And I've had this image that my mind is a sacred place, you know, and I want to keep Baba as the main influence in that sacred place. And just imagine your mind like a still pond, a really still pond. And if there's gateways into that pond, that sacred space, your ears, your eyes, your memory. And sometimes in a split second, a comment or something we see, we absorb it through the gateway and that still pond becomes disturbed, it becomes stormy. And it's me. My sense organs deceive my mind. And that's where I think that when I keep that place sacred and I keep it within the Mariadas of the mind, and I really consciously try to protect it, it's like I'm preparing my mind to go further. The next step is love. And to me, the great power to take the soul beyond the body is love. It's the natural way. You know, force never works. Rich, deep, rich experience of love. And what I love is things natural. I love things which are natural. And I think concentration, I think very few people, if any, can really concentrate in this world. But there's one principle. Wherever the heart goes, the mind will follow. So if your heart recognizes that no soul is like Baba, no one is as lovable or as attractive as Baba, then the mind naturally begins to concentrate. And it's like a natural step for the soul. It's prepared, and now it's becoming bodiless. And I feel, when I describe meditation these days, sometimes I just say, it's just sitting in front of Baba and allowing yourself to be completely loved. Meditation is just sitting in front of Baba and giving yourself permission to be totally loved. I have this thought so much. How much have we searched for perfect love? I'm sitting in front of it. If I can't experience it, why? And this is knowledge. Knowledge is for me, if I'm in front of the purest love available in eternity and I'm not really accessing it, it's a big question, why? And that's gyan, to observe, not to overreact or feel heavy about it. Observe, what is it in me that is blocking this love? And it's always issues around unworthiness, feeling inferior, you know, a sense of my own impurity, whatever that may be. But I think that when I really allow myself to feel that love, and I have that love for Baba, it's the power that propels the soul out of the body. It becomes bodiless. And this ultimate act of becoming bodiless, in a sense, is the great act of a Gyani Yogi soul, because it's like I'm letting go the consciousness of my body in 1 second. Let go the consciousness of my body. Let go the consciousness of my bodily relations. Let go the consciousness of service. Let go roles and responsibilities. Everything really that sustained me for the last half cycle, I'm letting it go. And when I do this, I'm breaking down the power of body consciousness over me. Each time I can do that act, slowly, slowly, I'm breaking my habit, the addiction to body consciousness. And this is why that drill is such an important thing. And I think when I experience that quality of love, the soul goes beyond the body, the final experience is the experience of silence. And I think that it's almost like what I love to feel, I'm resonating on the same frequency as Baba. Sometimes I think Baba's on the FM dial, you know. When I'm body conscious, I'm on the AM dial. I can't tune in. That's why this work of elevating myself into the same frequency, I become a seed like Baba is a seed. And I think in that state, when the soul's right beyond the body, it's like I taste the true nature of the self. It's not something I believe, I am. And it's almost like I feel so close to Baba. It's like I'm totally in tune with Baba, and my mind and intellect are closed to all the influence of the body conscious part. I'm just there, resonating. And I think it's like I absorb that silence in myself. The mind is almost still, such a sweet feeling. I can hear what Baba is saying, what Baba wants me to do. It's almost like you can feel the energy of Baba penetrating and doing its work of transformation. And we've all had some of these experiences at different times where with no effort, I'm absolutely present. There's absolutely nothing else in my mind or intellect but Baba. Complete focus, complete love. And in that state, the joy of that state, the bliss of that state, the purity of that state just fills the soul with so much strength. It's such a sweet experience. And I think this state of total connectedness with one is the ultimate state that we're all aiming for. But I have to do the work. I have to free myself from all the things that pull to move right into that state. And that's why sometimes when I just sit and I haven't really done the groundwork, my mind goes everywhere. Yes, I know there's different factors. Our karmic story kicks in. All sorts of things can. But ultimately, this is where we want to go. And I wonder, how much direct remembrance do I have in a day? I think indirect, yes, we remember Baba. But it's more like thinking about Baba. Yoga is not thinking. Thinking does make me feel better. But yoga is when I'm that bodiless soul resonating. I'm absolutely present, absorbed. And I wonder, who's read that book, Illustrations of Raj Yoga? Does anyone? Jagdish Pai wrote, it's one of the original English books. There's a wonderful picture in it called Yogi in Bliss. Have you seen that picture? It's amazing. It's like a yogi sitting in meditation. There's all these wonderful rays of light coming through. And it's like Baba connecting to him and then him radiating. And it really gives you the feeling of what yoga really is, why we're really here. And so I think that, you know, to have the experience, that spiritual experience, the more I go, I'm free. I'm like detaching myself. I'm going beyond. And this is like the real work. And wherever you get stuck, pulled, attracted, influenced, that's the indicator where I have to do my work. That thing is indicating to me that, let's say I want to go beyond, but another human being comes in my mind. I'm having a little conflict with them or whatever, or difference. It's an indicator that I have to do some work to transform that feeling or change that feeling. Anyway, I think just one last thing, and then if there's a little bit of time for questions. What I've observed too is that we sometimes develop bad habits in meditation. And, you know, long-term meditators, we sit a lot. The half an hour yoga buddies. But sometimes I think, you know, the meandering stage? Who knows the meandering stage, can I say? You know, I travel here, I travel there, I go home, I go to the office, I go to the center, I come back, I go, you know. Really, I think we need an aim when we sit. It's very simple. Long-term meditators often just sit and then think, well, you know, a few thoughts of what Baba said this morning, thoughts of, you know, just no real focus. And so half an hour goes by and there's no real accumulation. The second type of habit is processing. Now, the nature of the human soul, especially at this moment in time, there's so much going on in life, so many accounts emerging, that the processing factor is so powerful that some people spend their entire life analyzing and processing. And honestly, I think that's a very tamo kam rajo pradhan state of mind. You know, sometimes we're very clever at analyzing a situation, but I would say sato pradhan analysis is doing it in 1 second or a few seconds, not just going over and over and over, because it doesn't allow me really to remember Baba. And we need to process, there's no doubt, some things, but not when we sit. And I feel that if you promise yourself, I'm going to sit and really explore Baba, go deeper into knowledge, explore something, have the connection, rather than processing feelings. Or even if there's something really important you need to understand, at least go to Baba first, have that experience, and then through that filter, when I've been with Baba, more bodiless, I have a more accurate perspective on that particular situation. Rather than this almost chronic addiction to the processing mind or the analytical mind, which seems to take us over at this time. Even service and planning. You know, sometimes there's a lot to do, and I feel that when yoga is difficult, and it can be sometimes, we want to go beyond, we get stuck, and many times we get stuck. Deep down, I lose confidence that I can meditate well. And so I start to go back to where I see instant wins or successes, which is action, service. And I think sometimes, you know, we love Baba, we have faith in Baba, but because yoga is difficult, I start to get my fulfillment through the results of actions, which is what we've done in the last half cycle. You know, we've done an action to get a fruit. Now Baba's saying, go to Baba, get the fruit, and then come into action in a detached way. You know, not really worrying ultimately what the outcome is. You just do it in the right state of consciousness. But what's happening now is that sometimes, because I'm not successful, I go back into that action mode once again. Because I know that experience really well, as we all do, that when you do something and you do it well, there's a fruit. It's good. But if it's the thing that's sustaining me on the journey, then that's not really what we want, the yoga to sustain me. So I think sometimes it's really good to step back from my Brahman life and say, well, why am I here? I'm ultimately here to come closer to Baba. Am I doing that? And really, what is the quality of my yoga? And what do I want to do to actually improve it? Because I think you observe yourself when you have a really deep connection, when you have a lovely experience. How do you feel? It gives you so much happiness. And ultimately, that's why we're here. And I really think that's the main service. I think our main service is to keep a connection with one. And that vibration creates an atmosphere. I remember once that we were meeting Baba, a group of us from centers. And Baba said, it's probably in the early 1980s, Baba said, does anyone have any questions? And no one had any questions. So I piped up and I said, Baba, what service should we be doing now? See, talking about service. And Baba, I was just sitting about where she is, and Baba looked around at me and he said, I've already told you. And then Baba said, just create a powerful atmosphere. Baba said, in foreign countries, just create the powerful atmosphere. It will do its own work. And honestly, I'm feeling more and more we run and run and run and run. But when we really nurture those pure vibrations and people walk into it, it's the loudest voice. That voice touches the original sanskaras in other souls. So anyway, maybe there's time just for one or two questions, and you're going to have to excuse me because I was just told before we started, I have to go to Shantivan at 6 o'clock. So I have to leave in about 8 minutes or so. You're right, because I didn't see the third one. In the soul conscious, the first is the form of the soul. The second is the nature in corporeal eternal. The third is the identity of the soul. And what I mean by that is I've seen souls make so much effort to practice soul consciousness, but my identity is still impurity. And it's like I begin to identify with my original purity. A lovely meditation is to actually realize that embedded in the soul at this second is the blueprint of perfect purity. Yes, it's deeply embedded in the soul. But if I re-emerge that set of sanskaras and feel it, I think the wonderful question in yoga is, how does it feel? Really, what's the feeling of total purity? It's such a feeling of well-being, of self-respect. It's such a, you know, it's like I don't need anything. I feel so complete in myself. So that sense of subtly I'm making effort and yet subtly I'm still identifying with my present set of sanskars, my present state, rather than in a sense, starting to explore the original identity of the soul. And even, I think, another experiment I absolutely love is the vision of the soul. And you know, do you remember the Sankarmolis about 2, 3, 4 months ago? It was the theme for week after week where Baba was saying, children, the highest effort is to see the other as a soul. And we often think, well, you know, because I think the way Baba's seeing it, like, I think initially when we know we're a soul, we just look at the forehead. You know, we're very body conscious actually, but we know the soul lives in the forehead. As I become bodiless, secondly, I start to see you as a bodiless soul. To me, the next step, when I feel I'm incorporeal, and that's when I feel separate from matter. It's an incredible feeling. I really feel it's the effort of efforts. It's what is the experience of being non-physical, this subtle non-physical, I'm not sitting in this physical form. Because then I start to see you right beyond. There's a separateness. I start to see the separateness of the incorporeal and the corporeal. But even then, I think we can still be influenced by others. And the thing I've really loved recently is to see the part in another soul. Every human soul has an indelible part. It's indelible. It's eternal. It is never going to change. And that is such a deep truth. And when I see that part, it's like I accept. It's the way it is. If I'm fighting that part, then, you know, I'm going to do it every time. My own experience is the more you accept your own part in drama, you learn how to accept others. If you find it difficult to accept other souls' part in drama, I feel the reason is you still haven't fully accepted my part, my specialty. I would say the ultimate wisdom of the confluence age is to feel satisfied, you know, with my part in drama. That is contentment, and that's why Baba said it's a crown jewel. We live in this amazing family of talented people with so many specialties, and yet what Baba's saying is find your own uniqueness, your specialty, and accept it deeply, and then I can interact with everybody in such an easy way. So, the form of the soul, experiments, the nature of the soul, the vision of the soul, the identity of the soul. If I have new experiments over so often, it's like entertainment as I move along developing myself spiritually, because all those experiments free the self to be able to go here. You know, the most fundamental thing of this life is I can only connect with Baba when I'm soul conscious. It's that simple. If I'm not soul conscious, I'm just believing, just like a devotee. And many times we just sit believing. And yet, that's the work. The more I'm detached from the body, and Baba said this morning that many children don't even understand the real practice of soul consciousness, or something to that effect this morning. Have you ever heard a Sankarmoli when Baba doesn't mention about soul consciousness? Has anyone ever heard one? I don't think so. And to me, I think wherever Baba put his attention, you know, the ocean of knowledge could talk about a lot of things, but every single day, Baba takes us back to that place with always a different angle, because Sakha Baba was always elevating himself into that state of soul consciousness. I'm going to excuse myself for that after that little sermon. Sorry, because I would have stayed until 6 or after, but I've only just been told that something I have to go to in Shantivan. So maybe if we just have 5 minutes meditation, and we can take drishti from Baba. And in this meditation, really just try to go beyond to Shiv Baba, the incorporeal, and you, the incorporeal soul, resonate on the same frequency. Anyway, thank you so much, everybody, and